Before I get started this week, I want to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. She was a burnt out high school teacher who battled TMS symptoms for years before healing herself completely and leaving her dead end job. Simply put, she gets it, especially the frustration of doing all the right things, implementing the tools, and still not getting the results that you deserve. If this is you, I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn about her tailored one-on-one coaching program. During this time, she will identify the specific barriers that are getting in the way of you fully healing, unraveling blocks such as subconscious or negative beliefs, fearful thought patterns, or unfelt emotions is crucial for living a pain-free life again. Don't settle for that partial healing. Bet on yourself again by going to JeannieColwin.com, that's JeannieColwin.com, to book your free call. Also, check out her impressive testimonials page to see her clients' transformations firsthand. Welcome back to the show. As I record this, it is my 38th birthday, and as my mom always reminds me, I think it's 8:41 a.m. is the actual time of the birthday, and I'm recording this at 4:14 p.m., which means I've been 38 for almost 8 full hours, and I will tell you, feels a lot like 37 at this point. But it's been a great day so far, and I haven't even had my birthday dinner, which I look forward to every year, and Zoe made me a killer cake that's just been sitting on the counter since yesterday that I'm very ready to annihilate. She was very cute about it. She went through a long list of what I wanted, and we settled on chocolate chunk. There's raspberry in there. There's coconut in there. There's Cool Whip in there. And I'm just pumped. I'm excited to annihilate it. So I guess we will see how that goes. And I'll report back next week. I don't think it killed me, but I'll report back in the future with it. So this week's podcast is pretty cool. I sort of took a step back. I talked about this a lot. This podcast is called the Mind and Fitness Podcast, but oftentimes it leans far more to the mind and less to the fitness. This next interview is far more about the fitness. So Kirsten Kimura came on the show. I got connected with her. There was a past guest on the show that uses her for a personal training program. There was a mention about TMS on there. And so I reached out and I was like, hey, I didn't think that there were any personal trainers that intersected with TMS work. And so that's how we kind of got to talking. And most of this interview is about the fitness. But I love that stuff. And I could geek out on the nutrition stuff and the weight training and the strength training and all that kind of stuff ad nauseum. So I'm excited to chat with her. She's from Phoenix. I'm going to have a link to all of her information down in the show notes. So make sure that you check that out. So without further ado, here is Kirsten Kimura and I on the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. And with me, somebody that caught my eye on Instagram in the last couple of weeks, she was actually working or is working with somebody who's been on the show before. I'm not going to reveal their name for anonymous purposes, but working with somebody in the TMS space that I've talked to in the past. Kirsten Kimura from Phoenix is here. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I'm doing good now. I was frantic a few minutes ago. You saw me because we were having some audio problems, and I was worried that, gosh, did my equipment break? Do I got to go buy a bunch of new stuff? But no, we're sounding crystal clear now. It's all good.
Yep. All good.
So this is called the Mind and Fitness Podcast, and very rarely are there people that can intersect both of those. I feel like a lot of time this show is 80 or 90% mind and 10 or 20% fitness. You've got both here. So tell some background. Give us the background on you. As far as, you know, what do you do for a living and what kind of things do you do as far as coaching goes, and kind of give us the rundown on you.
Yeah, sure. Definitely mind and fitness. I think it's so good. And I think I do speak to both of these things. Because, you know, physical fitness and health is awesome, but mindset is also very huge. As we both know, you know, dealt with TMS, nothing that teaches you better than that. So what I do right now is that I am coaching. My clients are mostly women. And for a long time, I've been in the fat loss space. So helping women to get leaner, get fitter. And I'm using strength training as my main method, strength training combined with nutrition coaching. So macronutrition. So that's what I have been doing for about 4 years now. But then I also am a still recovering person who had a TMS, has/had still a little bit left over there for sure. And then now I have been working more with people who also have experienced TMS, are maybe on the other side of it, or actually can also be more like sensitive people who just have more sensitive nervous systems and who have been maybe a little bit afraid to start working out again. Or maybe when they do, the TMS signals kind of start singing in the background, you know, the danger alarm. So kind of helping these women to, men too in the future, hopefully, but now it's been mostly women, to get back to exercise and get back to their fitness. And this is what I've been really passionate about recently.
Talk about the background with the strength training, fat loss space specifically, and kind of how you got into that and the macro coaching and things like that. How did your path of life find you to be there?
Yeah, sure. So I've been very active all my life, I would say. I started, you know, track and field when I was very young. And then in my early 20s, I actually, I had gained some weight because I had stopped my track and field and, you know, got your first car and stopped driving more. I gained weight. And then I wanted to lose it. And in the process of losing it, I actually got myself into a pretty bad eating disorder. So it was a very dark place. It was never diagnosed officially, but let's say that it looked like anorexia at some points, and at some points it looked like a binge eating disorder / almost bulimia without ever throwing up though. So that's a part that didn't happen, which is good. And then I gained weight and I lost the weight, and I was in this kind of trouble until I saw my acupuncturist, because I hadn't had my menstrual cycle for a long time. And he said, well, that's because you are overtraining yourself, and that's because you are not eating. And I think might be interesting for women to hear, I didn't have it for 10 years. So I was so, you know, beat up from all this exercise that I had done in order to just look skinny. So he told me that you need to rest. You need to rest, and you need to gain a little bit of weight potentially. You have to be okay with it because your future health is more important. And so that's what I did. And I had to take like six months off from any working out. I had to significantly increase my calorie intake and eat a lot more. And then my hormones came back to normal. You know, I got my hormonal health back. But then I kept on eating this like really high calories, because it was like the food freedom that I had never had before. And so I definitely went way overboard. The next 2-3 years, I was eating a lot without ever asking, like, am I full already? Should I stop? Is it fine to have like froyo instead of dinner all the time?
Yeah.
How much wine I was drinking. So I gained a good amount of weight. And then, you know, mentally I was in a lot better place because the restriction and all that was gone. But then at one point I realized I want to find a middle ground with this. I still want to be in good shape, but I don't want to go back into like very, really disordered habits as far as my fitness and eating. I want to do it in a healthy way. And for me, the healthy way was that I started tracking my macronutrients and actually weighing my food, which I know a lot of people will hear, well, you had an eating disorder, didn't it put you back into that space? But no, because this time my mindset was way different. My approach was like, I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to be gentle with myself. I'm not going to go into it like, I have to lose 20 pounds in like 2 months, you know, something crazy. I was just like, let's take it gradually. And then I saw it worked really well for me. I was able to, you know, have a really balanced way of eating. Previously, I had kept my weight down with excessive cardio and really intense, like high intensive circuits. Now I was like, no, I'm going to build some muscle. If that makes me heavier, that is fine. And so I basically started focusing on a high protein diet and lifting weights. And that really transformed me. And then I realized that I want to teach this to other people too, who maybe have done lots of restrictive diets in the past, or who keep beating their bodies up with excessive training. And I saw that, you know, 3 lifting sessions a week is plenty, you know, and I got really great results feeding my body, feeling great. And this is when I, you know, got certified as a nutrition coach. I had already been certified as a personal trainer before. And this is how it all started.
All right. So let's take a quick break. This episode is brought to you by Pain-Free Comeback, the proven mind-body program for athletes with chronic pain. Pain-Free Comeback was created by a certified chronic pain coaches, Miriam Gauci Bongiovanni, who's been on the show before, and Alec Kasson, who's also been on this show before. both guests on this show multiple times. Miriam is a serious rock climber, and Alec is a former semi-pro cyclist whose former teammates include national champions and Olympians. Both face severe chronic pain with scary structural diagnosis and know what it's like to have their favorite activities and athletic identities ripped away, and I had that too. They're both pain-free today, and with remarkable recovery stories, they've helped numerous athletes do the same. Now they're offering a first-of-its-kind program. Unlike anything I've come across, what makes Pain-Free Comeback unique is that it's built specifically for athletes and active people. Together, Miriam and Alec package their 20 years of experience learning about chronic pain and optimal athletic performance into a greatest hits collection of structured videos, audios, and exercises. I've checked out the lessons myself, and I highly recommend it. It's the type of program that I wish that I would have created, and so glad that they did. That's true. When this podcast first was being thought up, this was the idea that I had. I even bought a green screen in 2019 with the total intent of doing it. So I encourage you to check this out. Their signature Pain-Free Comeback program is on sale now, and it comes with a free 30-day money-back guarantee. Learn more about it at painfreecomeback.com to learn more. I think it's interesting that you bring up, I love that you bring up the protein part of it, because I've got two young daughters, and the 10-year-old in particular has gotten very curious in the last year or so about packages, labels that have calories on them. And she's asking, you know, what are calories? And I don't like body image stuff. I don't know if she's asking from a place of that or just some curiosity. And so I taught her about calories being more so a unit of energy, meaning you expend 150 calories worth of energy doing physical activity, and then you're replenishing yourself with the same 150, and trying to leave it at that. But I keep a food scale, and I still weigh. I don't measure or track anything at this point in time, but there are still things that I will measure out, and my daughters always ask me why, and I say literally because I want to make sure that I'm getting enough protein in order to sustain the goals that I have. So I'm glad that you bring that up. I'm very curious about this long break that you had where you weren't in the gym and you had to significantly increase your calories. If you don't mind my asking, like, how much of an increase? Because I was going to ask how much did you limit your training to? And you had said really nothing, like 6 months away completely. But as far as the caloric intake increase, what did you have to do in that regard? And did you do it? Was it a slow process or was it an overnight process?
You know, back then I didn't track anything. I just let myself to be completely free around food. And the foods that in my mind had been like off limits previously, now it's just started eating them however I wanted. And I, you know, I went in pretty quickly with it. Maybe not, let's say the first couple of months was still like kind of scared because it's still the old body image stories in the background and the fear of gaining weight. Plus I was working as a trainer, so I was like, I have to look the part, right? Now I'm going to gain weight. So maybe the first couple of months I held back a bit, but then I was like, you know, screw this. And I didn't track, so it's hard to tell, but kind of looking back to, you know, what I know now, what a 2000 calorie or 2500 calorie day looks like, then I would say I definitely, you know, closer to 3000 probably a day. Wow. So that's awesome. I ate a lot of food. Yeah. And a lot of it actually, so you asked if I did it gradually, if I did it suddenly. So now I would probably take a little different approach. And if I do have a client who has a similar issue, we take it a little more gradually because a lot of people, they just psychologically cannot jump there. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult. And also it's, you know, it can cause like sudden weight gain, which can also not be good. Actually, it can be problematic for digestion too if you do it so like suddenly. So it really a little bit depends on a person how I would go about it now, but I would probably not like jump all in exactly the same way.
Is it for you, like when you are, you know, you meet with a new client, you're mapping out whatever their macros should be or whatever their caloric intake should be. What's the basis on how it is that you calculate that? Because one of the, like, I remember when I first really got into this kind of stuff, I had no, like, let me back up a little bit. Back in the late 2000s or so, I had right after college, kind of the same time frame you were talking about, when I was in my early 20s, I had left college where I was walking a lot and I was exercising a lot. And I got my first job, you know, it was a desk job, and I was driving a lot more. I wasn't walking to class. So I was still working out very regularly, but just the sedentary lifestyle that had suddenly taken over and the same caloric intake had just led to a lot of weight gain. in my early 20s. And then I had just sort of thought that, hey, I got the Lose It app, which is still around, but like MyFitnessPal is kind of the more popular one now. And had just plugged in the statistics and how much I wanted to weigh. And it spit out this like 30, I see the mention of the 1200 calorie diet on your website, which is kirstenkimura.com, by the way. And I'll link that in the show notes. But I was at like 1300 calories, and that's pretty much what I ate. And I would work out, you know, 1.5 or 2 hours a day or whatever. And I'd have 1300 calories, and I was a 25-year-old male, or even younger than that, 22 or 23-year-old male. And after a while, I was feeling very fried, as you can imagine. So how do you determine what somebody's caloric needs are for, you know, however often it is that you're prescribing them to do strength training, whether it be 3 or 4 or 5 days a week or whatever your guidance is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first of all, like you eating 1300 calories, I cannot imagine how fried you must have felt.
I was very fried. Yeah.
That is not good. Your adrenals were pretty mad at you. So how do I calculate that? Well, first what I need to know is what the person's basal metabolic rate is and estimate that, right? So that's a pretty simple thing to do. You can actually find there's a website that help you to discover that or find that out. And then I ask my new people a bunch of questions. So this is what I think where the apps like MyFitnessPal or any like online calorie calculator will not be good, because they're not real human. They don't ask you real questions. So I want the person to describe me their workouts. What are they doing right now for their movement? Then I also want to know where, you know, what age they are, because, you know, people, you know, there's metabolic changes that happen, right, when we get older. If somebody's in menopause, that actually determines that a little bit, especially how I distribute their macros. So I'm using, based on their activity, I'm using something called activity factor. So I multiply the BMR with that. And then this is what gives me an estimation. But of course, the real numbers come out once we start working, because nobody's an Excel sheet. Nobody's a like specific formula.
Yep.
So based on then, you know, once we get to work and see what numbers work for them, we always, always adjust. Now, also one important thing to know why it's so good idea to work with a human and not just with a website is that if somebody has had a really restrictive past already, so let's say that they are doing this 1300 calorie diet, mm-hmm. and they have been doing it for 6 months straight already, then I cannot just put them in a calorie deficit because they have nowhere to go anymore. So this is, again, you know, another important piece to take into account. Because this person needs actually metabolic healing before. And it means that they have to temporarily increase their calories to reset the body, so to speak, or restore the body. And then we can go back in the opposite direction. So, and in my work, I see a lot of women who are, you know, just really desperate. They want to get the weight down so quickly. And then, you know, especially in the, you know, 50s or around that age, they just become so desperate because the body changes and they keep pushing harder. They do more workouts, they go more high intensity, they cut their calories more, but the body is already so worn out. So we actually need that phase of healing. And this can actually make the weight loss a very long process, but we have to understand that what didn't come on overnight will not also go down overnight.
I imagine with what you're describing that there's probably a period of time where somebody comes to you, they're like you said, maybe they're a 50-year-old female, they're desperate to lose weight, and they're doing that more is more sort of thing where they're working out a lot more and they're eating a lot less, but they're not seeing any sort of a change, not in the mirror, not in the way they perform, not in the way that they weigh or feel or anything like that. And similar to your story of kind of having to go add a ton of calories and do 6 months off in order for your body to heal and kind of get back to the center. Do you find that in a lot of the clients that you work with that kind of fit that profile, do you have to have them step away from training entirely for an extended period of time, or what do you tend to see?
No, in my coaching, I haven't actually told anybody that you cannot work out. It's just the way they work out that has to change a lot of times. Because yeah. Like I mentioned, a lot of people, you know, that's how the logic goes, right? If I run like 1 hour, that burns more calories than doing 1 hour of strength training.
Yep.
But this is what also fries people, because when you do a lot of cardiovascular training like that, actually your adrenal response is like high. You produce a lot of stress hormones, and then you produce a lot of cortisol, which especially women in middle age don't need more of, because we already, or they already naturally have higher levels of cortisol. So if you now add that, you know, through long cardio or very high intensity training, let's say 5 days a week, then that's just like stress overload. And the body is holding, you know, hanging on too tight. It does not want to let go of anything. So instead of doing all that, I'm telling them, hey, let's lift weights 3 days a week. And that can be really shocking for them, because they're like, but, you know, they desperate looking at their Apple Watch, and they're like, but that only burns 200 calories.
Yeah, my rings aren't closed.
Rings are not closed. Maybe adjust the rings then. But, you know, and then like, but that doesn't burn calories. And then I have to explain them that, you know, the goal of your workouts is not to burn calories. The goal is to send your central nervous system and your muscles a message that we are building the tissue here, right? Muscle tissue. And when you do like lots of high intensity, lots of cardio, actually that sends the opposite. That's more like the catabolic, right? Which is muscle breakdown. So this adjustment needs to be made, that moving more towards strength training. Of course, strength training has a lot of other benefits too, but one of the things that it does, it really, because it increases your metabolically most active tissue, which is a muscle tissue, it does make fat loss easier.
Now, I'm sure that you get resistance from people, women in particular, probably, that have done the, you know, they've gone running all the time, or they've done the elliptical all the time, or the stairs, or whatever. And you're saying, hey, slow down and let's do bench press, or let's do squats, or let's do deadlifts, or let's do, you know, whatever your pick is, whether they're compound movements or not. Is it tough to get people beyond that hump? Because I know for a long time when I switched over to doing primarily strength training, that that was difficult even for me to hear as a mid-20s male who should, by all intents and purposes, want to be muscular. And I was actually just talking to my buddies about this yesterday, that I think it's taken me 10 to 12 years to put on 8 to 10 pounds of lean mass, which I think a lot of people that think about strength training think that you're going to go to the gym and in 2 weeks you're going to gain 30 pounds of muscle. And I wish it was that case, but it just isn't, right? So tell me about that.
It is hard. Yeah. It is hard to convince these people, because the messaging has been so strong. You know, the cardio is the key. And I'm not a cardio hater. I mean, I was a marathon runner for many, many, many years. So I don't hate on it. But we have to look at our goals. What is the goal? And if you come to me and you say, hey, I want to lose body fat and I want to just look leaner, then yeah, we have to lift weights for that. If your goal is to really, you know, kick butt in marathon running, you have to train this way. So pick your goal and then let's do it the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. What's, I could talk about this stuff forever. We're going to move on to a different topic here in a second, but this is stuff that I geek out on. I told you, like, I don't talk to people in this space very often anymore. It used to be all the time, and now not so much at all. What's your take? So we've talked about the protein, the high protein diet part of it. I was for a long time the carbs are your enemy king, and I probably did very close to a ketogenic diet for a couple of years, and it worked super well at first for the first 2 months, 3 months maybe. And then I think it was a big detriment. And for the last 10 years, I've been very pro carbs. But talk about people, because again, that's one of those things that's just out there, that carbs are the enemy, carbs make you fat, whatever. Talk about some of that.
Oh, I am not a fan of that at all. Yeah. Like carbs being an enemy, because carbs are a friend. You just have to know how to use them right. We all know about the importance of protein for muscle building, but actually carbohydrates are also very important for muscle building.
Yep.
So I always recommend have a little bit of carbs in you, even if you work out like 6 a.m. in the morning, still have a little bit, even if it's just, you know, 100 calories worth of carbs and 100 protein, you know, something. And then afterwards, you got to replenish, because carbs are what energize you. And what you said that, and especially for women, by the way, women are a lot more sensitive to cutting out carbohydrates. And it's very common that at first it quote unquote works. But when somebody says it works, then I want to know where were you, you know, a year after.
Yeah.
And then we can decide if it worked or not.
Yep.
So what a lot of people describe, especially women, is when they go low carb. And by the way, I want to preface this by saying there are exceptions. So there are exceptions, and I'm not going to argue with somebody's personal experience. If somebody's been very successfully doing it for a year and 2 years, cool. But what I see most often is that women are going to develop problems with their menstrual cycle again, problems with thyroid. Oh, that is very common, like low thyroid, super common. Then problems with liver, adrenals are a big one, because adrenals are, like I mentioned before, pumping out our stress hormones. And if you don't give your body carbohydrates, your body will experience more stress. Again, women are more sensitive to that. Then harder time to putting on muscle mass. This is hard because you don't have energy in your really muscle mass is difficult. And then especially, I think the mix get even worse when we do all this. And then when you do like fasted workouts, and when we do eat, we don't eat carbs. So avoiding carbs and doing long periods of fasting, in my opinion, for women is a pretty bad combination based on what I have seen.
All right. Last question on the nutrition stuff. And then I promise I'll leave that alone. Because I want to get I want to get to the TMS stuff. Tell me your somebody works out in the morning, you know, first thing in the morning. They're one of those people. That's me. What is the ideal? They strength train in the morning. What's the ideal breakfast? What is the Kirsten Kimura? This is the ideal breakfast for most people that strength train in the morning. Is there any particular one you can point at? Because I bounce back and forth.
Okay. So how much time do you have between your breakfast and your workout?
Let's say this is for me. So we're talking about a guy in this case. But like usually wrap up the workout at 7:45. Let's call it an hour. Take the kids to school, walk the dogs, and then I'm back and I can make, let's say we have an hour.
Okay. So you did your workout already?
Yep.
Okay. And then you're asking what you eat before?
Not necessarily before. So I know you talked about fasted. Fasted's interesting because normally I just don't have the amount of time between the alarm goes off and the workout to be able to make it back to be able to finish and then take the kids to school. So usually it's like up at 6:20, workout at 6:40, finish at 7:45, take the kids to school, back home an hour later.
Okay. So you did a fasted workout and then it took a while before you actually got your meal after your workout.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you want to build more muscle, if this is one of your goals, I would definitely move that meal sooner. Like if you're able to eat it pretty soon after you have finished your workout, that would be better, because then you just replenish, you store your glycogen, and then that's going to help you heal faster. And we know that, you know, it's all about healing and recovery, your muscle building, right? It's all about that. So maybe before or between finishing your workout and taking your kids to school, get something, make yourself like a bowl with, let's say, cottage cheese and a slice of toast or some kind of carbohydrate. It can also be like banana or some fruit. So the idea here is that we want to get protein and we want to get carbohydrate and maybe get that little snack and then have a full breakfast once you get home.
Yeah.
But of course, ideally, and again, I want to say that in my experience, this tends to be more important for women than it is for men. That for women, at least, I definitely want them to have even if it's 200 calories worth of little snack before they lift.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How I found you was that, again, a friend of mine had she posted a picture or something at a gym and had tagged you, and it said something about you being a knowledgeable fitness coach that also had knowledge on the TMS space. And I messaged you and said, I didn't think these people existed. I've maybe met one or two of them, and here you are. So I want to get a little bit of the TMS story, both past and then kind of now, how you weave. I'm really interested to hear the weaving of the TMS knowledge with people, women that are trying to find their way back into fitness.
Yeah. Well, TMS, interesting topic, right? I definitely have experienced it. Mostly the main form of it has been extreme back tightness.
Okay.
Sometimes back pain / back tightness. And then also I've had like little things here and there over the years, but this has been the most persistent one. And I'm also, you know, a little bit prone to anxiety and depression. So these things definitely are your typical DMS person things. As far as my back, it is doing a lot better now. And there's some tools that have helped me tremendously, and other like very known TMS tools that for me is like, they don't do much. So I think that's really interesting how the root cause is always similar, right? It's the heightened nervous system and then brain misunderstanding things. But sometimes what actually heals you or what helps, what makes the biggest difference for you in healing, that can be a different thing for a lot of people, I feel like. But the thing about me is that I actually never stopped lifting weights or exercising throughout TMS, because When I learned about it, then I learned that this is not dangerous. There's no physical harm done to my body. Yeah. I don't have to stop it. And I think this is where a lot of people get kind of tripped up, because they are so fearful. And then they avoid a lot of things, right? Which we know keeps the TMS around. So I think maybe this is one of the reasons why mine, knock on wood, never got like extreme, because I stayed empowered. I was like, I'm going to still keep lifting weights. That doesn't mean that I wasn't hurting. Yeah. I was still hurting.
Yeah.
But I was doing my thing, something that I've always, you know, loved. And other than, well, actually that period when I couldn't work out for 6 months, I didn't have TMS then yet. So
yeah,
that came later. But yeah, now because I am in this fitness space, strength training is my passion, and I do have a lot of friends in the TMS space. Some of them I have met in different group coaching programs, just like this person who you refer to as well. So now we've been talking about, you know, things they want to get back in shape, but there's of course initial fear. Are my symptoms going to ramp up again? How's my body going to react? And we always have to tell them, no, how your brain is going to react,
yeah,
the body. And then, you know, with different people, I start from different place. So somebody might be ready to get those dumbbells and start lifting, right? Another person gets very strong nervous system response, and we just want to ease into it a little bit more. So we might start with something like body weights or bands or TRX suspension trainer. So I really listen to where the person is at. Also, you know, what their past experience has been with lifting. That helps me to kind of program their schedule, or like, you know, come up with a program as well.
Do you tend to, and maybe this will be like a, well, duh answer, but maybe it won't be. Do you tend to find people take to, and when I say take to, meaning you prescribe them strength training and they really start to enjoy it, do you find that that comes more from people who've never strength trained before, or people that maybe used to and TMS or whatever came up and they stopped for a period of time? Do you find the people that this is brand new to them tend to take to it more, or people that used to do it and now are having some sort of a blockade in terms of getting back into it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Honestly, I don't think I've had anybody who was like really into working out before and now is trying to pick up again. Yeah. I would think that maybe that person is more like self-directed and can maybe get back to it without somebody else helping them, sure, necessarily. But what I have seen is, like, you know, I've worked with a lot of women who have done kind of sort of a little bit strength training-ish workouts before. Let's say they're like those quick little YouTube videos and, you know, they've done that, but they've never been into like real lifting.
Yeah.
But now, because what I teach, it's truly real lifting, because I want you to get strong. I think women should be doing this, you know, compound lifts, deadlifts, squats, overhead presses, all that good stuff. Once they start doing this, they experience the empowerment, and then they're hooked. And I love it how they're hooked. Yep. Because just right now, and on my own podcast, it comes out soon, the episode that I did, one of the women like this, she's like, when she tells me how she feels now, I literally get chills. Because it's so beautiful. Yes, you know, she has lost like over 20 pounds, but which is awesome, great. But that isn't as important to me, and I think for her too, as the mental transformation.
Yeah.
She says that you know, I never thought I could be that strong, fit mom that, you know, all my son's friends' moms were. I never thought this is possible, because I was in bed with like chronic fatigue over a decade. And now this like really heavy lifting has given me this sense of like, I can do hard things. I'm capable. I'm so strong. And like, I don't want anything to come between me and my workout.
Yeah.
So I really love this, like what lifting can do, like the empowerment part of it. So, and another example that actually comes to mind is from somebody who didn't necessarily have TMS, but it's just like more like sensitive person. And then she was a, you know, a larger woman. And it was about 5 years ago when I was teaching women powerlifting at the gym where I was working at that time in California. And she didn't want to be there, but her friend had invited her, and it was a small group. There's only 3-4 women. And then she said, I never thought that gym could be a place for people like me, because, you know, she was a larger person, inexperienced, very much so. And then, you know, we started practicing with a PVC pipe. Let's pick that off the floor. Then we pick up the empty barbell with no plates. And then we add some plates. And then one day she was lifting 140 pounds deadlift. And she said, I'm just, I, you know, she's almost like crying because she's like, this is my kid's weight. Yeah. I just think this happened. The next day, you know, all her colleagues and everybody knew because she was so empowered.
That's awesome. So these
are the transformations that I truly love the most.
That's awesome. If you have, and I'm sure you've had this, somebody comes to you and, you know, they want to work with you or anything and you prescribe strength training. Maybe they, you know, again, they've been somebody that in a past fitness life, they've only done cardio and that's kind of their thing. And they tell you, hey, I don't want to get bulky, that term. Like what's your response back? Or how, you know, how much convincing do you try to do, if any? Like, what's kind of your response to that?
Yeah, the bulky. Okay. Yeah. Mentally I have to do like a big
Yeah.
Because it's super difficult to get bulky, especially as women. You said it before too. I wish it worked. Like, you know, snap your fingers, pick up one 30-pound dumbbell, there you are, right? Yep. Doesn't work this way. So most women, unless they really train very hard and recover very hard and are enhanced with supplements, they will not get bulky.
Yeah.
What they actually get is like this really good looking body that a lot of women want, which is, you know, have the feminine curves, you have this like tightness, you have the shape. So I would say, yes, the weight loss comes from calorie reduction, but the shape you want comes from lifting weights.
Yeah.
And that shape just cannot come from cardio. And this is what I experienced. Like I mentioned before, I ran marathons for many, many years, and I was like a stick figure. It's not to, like, you know, judge my body what it was back then, but it was a marathon runner's body, and that's what it was. But if somebody tells me that I want that shape, then don't be afraid of weights. Yeah. You're not gonna get bulky.
Yeah. Okay. So we're wrapping up. The last couple things I want to know about. What's your favorite lift?
Deadlift.
What's your least favorite lift or favorite movement in the gym?
Least?
Yeah, least.
Barbell back squat is not my favorite.
Oh, wow. Okay. So deadlift's not my least favorite, but it's close for lift.
Yeah.
And I would say, if we're not counting the Olympic lifts, because snatch and clean and jerk will always be my favorite, but if we're saying compound barbell lifts, I would actually have the opposite of you.
Really?
Where I would say probably a back squat is my favorite and probably a deadlift is my least, but you could make a shoulder press. I don't really love those either. I don't know. There's a lot that I tolerate. I do them. They're okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's because my I've seen, and this is like, what's it called? There's some sort of a phrase about comparing yourself to others is the joy, or is the, I don't know. It strips you of all the joy. Yeah, the thief of joy. And I see other people that are my size, and I'm not long. I'm 5'7". I'm 170 pounds. Like, I'm pretty small. Guys that are my size that lift, you know, they have a 500-pound one rep max deadlift. And I did 400 once, and that took a long time to get, years to get. And still, I was thinking, God, I can't ever fathom adding 100 pounds of this. That's crazy. Okay. What about your favorite meal? Go-to meal, like you're going out, it's your birthday, whatever. Like, what's the one thing that just, and it can be a nationality. You can say Mexican food or Chinese food or a specific meal. Like, what's your thing?
Okay. I really love good brisket.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Yeah. I love brisket. And then dessert always has to have something with chocolate in it. And chocolate is something that, you know, there's not a single day, I think, that I don't eat some. And even my husband knows, like, okay, it's a crisis because we're out of chocolate, so we got to get you some.
Yeah. There's a place. Yeah. Okay, I'm sure you've been here. My wife and I, like I said, we were in Phoenix for anniversary. We went to Bobby Q in Phoenix. I'm sure you've been if you've had brisket. Have you been to Bobby Q?
I've been. Is it a chain? Do they have a couple of different locations?
They don't. It's like a rustic. Oh. It's incredible. It's Bobby Q barbecue, but it's also a steakhouse. Yeah. When I think of barbecue place, I think of like it's not trashy is not the right word, but like all the barbecue places around here that I love, like they look like nothing special. It's paper plates, it's paper towels, whatever. Like that's my style. And that's where I thought we were going. My wife picked out this place and we go there and it's like a nice restaurant, but the barbecue that came out, the brisket in particular, was incredible. So you got to check it out. It's amazing. And, I think it's like, probably reservation required just because it was so busy, but you should check that place out.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Bobby Thank Q. you for the tip.
Yeah.
You give a Phoenix person a tip.
About her own town. I know. Okay. Kirsten, thank you so much for being here. Tell us where we can find you on social media as well as your website.
Sure. So social media, actually, my main account is Kersten Kimura, my first and last name. But I just recently started a new account, which is more like a mindset and strength training. So the first one is more like nutrition and lifting. And the second one is definitely more like mindset, and definitely more people with TMS will resonate with the second one more. So this is spelled TAARA_wisdom. So Tara Wisdom. And then my website, KerstenKimuraCoaching.com. So these are the best places. I also have a free Facebook group if anybody likes to join. It is for women only, and it's called Fit and Fueled. You can find it on Facebook.
Awesome. Okay. I'll link those in the show notes. Kersten, thank you so much for being here. It was awesome talking to you.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye.